and anxious to obtain a speedy shelter from the increasing violence of the storm, the traveler determined to make an application for admission to the next dwelling that offered. An opportunity was not long wanting, and, riding through a pair of neglected bars, he knocked loudly at the outer door of a building of a very humble exterior, without quitting his saddle. A female of middle age, with an outward bearing but little more prepossessing than that of her dwelling, appeared to answer the summons. His request was listened to with evident unwillingness, and while yet unfinished, it was eagerly interrupted by the reply, "I can't say I like to give lodgings to a stranger in these ticklish times," said the female in a pert, sharp key. "I'm nothing but a forlorn lone body. What's the same thing? There's nobody but the old gentleman at home. But half a mile further up the road is a house where you can get entertainment, and that for nothing. I am sure 'twill be much more agreeable to me, because Harvey is away. I wish he'd take advice and leave off wandering. But Harvey Birch will have his own way and die vagabond after all." The horseman did not wait to hear more than the advice to pursue his course up the road, and was gathering the folds of an ample cloak around his manly form, when something in the speech of the female suddenly arrested the movement. "Is this, then, the dwelling of Harvey Birch?" he inquired, in an involuntary manner, apparently checking himself as he was about to utter more. "Why, one can hardly say it is his dwelling," replied the other, drawing a hurried breath like one eager to answer. "He is never in it, or so seldom that I hardly remember his face, when he does think it's worth his while to show it to his poor old father and me. I care but little for my part whether Harvey ever shows his face again or not, not I." And she closed the door abruptly on the horseman, who gladly extended his ride a half-mile farther to obtain lodgings which promised both more comfort and greater security. Sufficient light yet remained to enable the traveler to distinguish the improvements in the general appearance of the grounds around the building to which he was now approaching. The house was of stone, long, low, and with a small wing at each extremity. A piazza, extending along the front, with neatly turned pillars of wood, together with the good order and preservation of the fences and outbuildings, gave the place an air altogether superior to the common farmhouses of the country. After leading his horse behind an angle of the wall, the traveler threw his valise over his arm and knocked loudly at the entrance of the building for admission. An aged black soon appeared, and without seeming to think it necessary to consult his superiors, acceded to the request for accommodations. The traveler was shown into an extremely neat parlor, where a fire had been lighted to cheer the dullness of an easterly storm and an October evening. After giving the valise into the keeping of his civil attendant, and politely repeating his request to the old gentleman, who arose to receive him, and paying his compliments to the three ladies who were seated at work with their needles, the stranger commenced laying aside some of the outer garments which he had worn on his ride. On taking an extra handkerchief from his neck, and removing a cloak of blue cloth with a surtout of the same material, he exhibited to the scrutiny of the observant family party a tall and extremely graceful person of apparently 50 years of age. His countenance evinced a settled composure and dignity. His nose was straight and approaching to Grecian. His eye of a gray color was quiet, thoughtful, and rather melancholy, the mouth and lower part of his face being expressive of decision and much character. His dress, being suited to the road, was simple and plain. He wore his own hair, dressed in a manner that gave a military air to his appearance, and which was rather heightened by his erect and conspicuously graceful carriage. The ladies arose from their seats, and together with the master of the house, they received anew and returned the complimentary greetings which were again offered. The host was by several years the senior of the traveler, and by his manner, dress, and everything around him, showed he had seen much of life and the best society. The ladies were a maiden of 40 and 2 much younger, who did not seem, indeed, to have reached half those years. After handing a glass of excellent Madeira to his guest, Mr. Wharton, for so was the owner of this retired estate called, resumed his seat by the fire with another in his own hand. For a moment he paused, but at length inquired, "To whose health am I to have the honor of drinking?" The traveler had also seated himself, and turning his eyes slowly on his host, replied, while a faint tinge gathered on his features, "Mr.